In today's reading, Jesus climbs a mountain with Peter, James, and John. And while they are on that mountaintop experience, Jesus is transfigured. Jesus' real identity is revealed. In the awesomeness of that experience, Peter, James, and John want to hold on to it. So Peter tells Jesus, "Let me build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." They wanted to stay connected to God in that place, the relative safety of that mountain. They did not fully understand their call to go out into the world to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, not yet at least. Just a few passages down in this same section of Luke, Luke says that Jesus set his face resolutely on Jerusalem. It is a journey that leads Jesus to the cross. There are some people who say and have told me, clearly Jesus failed. How could he not? That corpse on that cross, how can that be any sign of success? People like that don't understand how God can use the resurrection to transform an instrument of state terror into a radical act of love. On the mountain, Moses and Elijah speak to Jesus about his exodus. What does the word exodus mean to you? When I hear the word exodus, I'm immediately taken back to Hebrew scriptures, to that defining moment in the history of the Jewish people when the chosen are led out of slavery to freedom. My brothers and sisters, we too are being called to an act of transformation. We're being called to an exodus, to go out into the desert for these 40 days of Lent. Is Exodus easy? It wasn't easy for the Jews, right? They wandered around the desert for 40 years. I mean, that in itself, that it took a lifetime to reach the promised land, is worth spending some time unpacking. Scripture tells us that the Jews complained, "Let's go back into the arms of slavery. Better to die a slave with a full belly than die in the desert, hungry." Sometimes it takes a radical act on our part to cause us to examine the things we're attached to. When I hear the word Exodus, I can't help but think of all those people coming across the border from Ukraine. When I see those images, mainly images of women carrying small children and elderly, trying to get them to safety, they're not carrying very much with them, are they? What will they do? Where will they go? I can't even imagine what it would feel like to walk in their shoes, to pack a backpack and just walk to a foreign country, not knowing whether I'd ever see my family or friends again, let alone my house. When we lived overseas, there was an anti-immigrant sentiment that swept across Europe. And in fact, in Poland, there is one political party that called for the construction of a wall on the border with Ukraine to keep out Ukrainian immigrants who were stealing Polish jobs. Almost all of that sentiment has disappeared today. In fact, one of those politicians, Wojciech Bakun, who's the mayor of a village on the Polish side of the border, just this week was being interviewed and said, "Please send us more assistance so that my little town of 60,000 people can serve more refugees." What a radical about face. What caused that? Maybe sitting in close proximity to the real face of evil. Not the evil that politicians like to talk about, but the real face of evil has caused some Christians in Poland to wake up and let go of strange teachings. The Knights of Columbus in Poland and Ukraine are setting the example for all of us, just like the Knights of Columbus in our own parish, who would give you the shirt off their back or their last dollar if you were in trouble. The Knights in Poland and Ukraine have set up mercy huts on the Polish side of the border. A mercy hut is a place where people can get a hot meal, hot coffee, clean water, free of charge. The Knights internationally first deployed mercy huts during World War I to serve refugees, European refugees, fleeing the combat zone. Here we are, 100 years later, deploying mercy huts again in Europe to serve European refugees leaving the combat zone. It's almost overwhelming, but it's also inspiring. Our readings today, particularly in light of current events, challenge us to change. Just like Abram, who answered the call in our first reading, we're being asked to answer the call and go out onto our Exodus journey for 40 days of Lent. Just like the people St. Paul talked to in the second reading, we're asked to let go of earthly things. We are challenged to ask ourselves, what things are we enslaved by? Maybe their possessions, maybe their ideas, maybe their strange teachings. We are challenged to let go of all of that. Like Peter, James, and John, we can't hold on to our faith in the relative comfort and safety of our church. We're challenged to go out into the world to bring the good news of Jesus Christ. Homework. Nourished by the Word of God and the Eucharist, I ask you to think about one thing. What is God calling you to do right here, right now? That will look different if you're 8 or 9 or 80 or 90 or somewhere in between. And that's okay. What is God asking you to do right here, right now? I think doing our homework will help us be transformed into the intentional disciples that God is calling us to be. Do you got it? Is it daylight savings? Do you got it? Do you get it? Are you going to do it? Good. May each of us come to know the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.